Good morning, gentlemen, and any ladies that may be listening. Okay, we are learning Simon Resh Vav, chapter 206. There you go, I think it's that, right there. Yep, right here.
It opened by itself.
Yeah, Sif Gimel, number 3.
What is paragraph?
Resh Vav. Didn't you put in a thing last time?
Yeah. Not the place.
Okay. This is where we were. Okay. Okay, and we started this sif by saying, Kol Eilu HaBrachos Tzarich Shaloi Yafsik Brein Bracha L'Achila. We said you're not allowed to make an interruption between the bracha and the eating. Which the Rama adds, Yoyse Mikadei Dibor, more than the length of time it takes to say, Shalom Aleichem Rebbe. Shalom Aleichem Rebbe. Those three words. So, we saw there was two types of interruption. One is an interruption in time, a break, a pause, and the other is an interruption with speech. When it comes to an interruption with a pause, with a break, then this is what this shiur, this amount of kadei dibor, of the amount of time it takes to speak, that's when that takes place. However, that's only lechatchila. Lechatchila, you're supposed to, between the bracha and eating, or again, bracha and doing the mitzvah as well, because that's the same halacha. Between the bracha and whatever action you're doing, you should try to do it immediately and not even have an interruption of kadei dibor. However, b'di'eved, as long as b'di'eved, you can have even longer than that. Yeah, there can be a much longer interruption. That's not a problem. Just lechatchila, you have to make an interruption. However, when we're talking about the interruption of speech, there, even one word is going to require you to is going to make you lose the bracha. Okay, you say one word as an interruption. That's going to require a new bracha. The bracha is lost, and you have to go ahead and make a new bracha before you eat or before you do the mitzvah, unless you are speaking about something which was pertinent to the action that you're about to do, pertinent to the bracha itself. Yeah, pertinent to eating. Right, so if you just said Hamoitzi lechem min haaretz or Asher kedushan mitzvah v'tzivonu al netilas yadayim, you can say, oh, could you bring the bread? Could you bring the salt? Could you pass the knife? Could you take care of the dog? Yeah, make sure the dog has food. Make sure this guest has a place to sit, because that's all part of the eating. Yeah, it's all part. It's pertinent to the action that you're about to do itself. Okay, you made a bracha on your lulav. One second. Which hand does the esrog go? Does it go in the left hand or does it go in the right hand? Rabbi, which hand does the esrog go? Yeah, that's fine. Because that's pertinent to the bracha itself. It's pertinent to the action. Okay? So that is not going to be considered an interruption.
It can take a requirement of the bracha. 10 minutes to talk with rabbi or to ask to different thing. What is...
Okay. As long as you don't say one word which is not pertinent to the bracha, then the bracha lasts. It could also take 10 minutes. Sometimes at a big Friday night dinner, yeah, everyone's washing. How long could it take to wash? A big Friday night dinner, waiting for the master, for the, you know, the person who's leading the meal to make hamotzi. Everyone washes. Yeah, people can be waiting for 10 minutes. The first people to wash and then the last person to wash can be waiting 10 minutes. Sometimes our house is like that. So you've got a 10-minute pause. And then, after making hamotzi, you've got another problem. You've got another wait, another break until you actually get the challah down to your end of the table. It can be a very long time. Okay, that's fine.
But long time is our wording.
Sorry?
One thing, don't say anything.
That's a pause. That's a pause of time. Yeah. But it's the same. It's considered the same. As long as you're not interrupting a word which is not pertinent to the bracha, then as many words as are required to get you ready to be eating this. However, we have said lechatchila, the best way to do it is to have things ready in a way that that we haven't got there. Okay, we will get there. Yeah, that we'll see that there's a halacha that one should have things in a way, ready in a way that you're able to eat them immediately. Okay. Now, by the way, what's brought down in halacha, I don't know where it is. It's not brought. I didn't see it over here, not in the Mishnah Berurah or anything. But the halacha is that this interruption, right, that you're not allowed to talk until you've done the action. You know, when it comes to eating, what do you call eating? Sticking something in your mouth and starting to chew?
Swallowing.
Just putting it in your mouth?
Not specific amount.
Tasting it?
Specific amount.
Specific amount that we say that's not true. We say, it said, Asa layla adam sheyena mina ilam zebelai bracha. You're not allowed to have any hana, any pleasure in the world without making a bracha, even a tiny, tiny bit. You have a tiny little sprinkle, one sprinkle, that needs a bracha. So that bracha, yeah, is going to be subject to this halacha. You're not allowed to interrupt. But what is called eating for this purposes? Right? When does the timer end? So the halacha is that the timer ends when you swallow the food.
When
you swallow the food.
Doesn't make a difference what is amount?
Doesn't make a difference what the amount is. Doesn't make a difference. But it's when you swallow the food. Meaning when you put it in your mouth and start chewing, often you see what happens, what people commonly do, a very common mistake is that you put food in your mouth, you start chewing, and then you start schmoozing. Because I've done, I've already, right? You don't interrupt. You made the bracha, and then you put the challah in your mouth, and then you start schmoozing. But you didn't swallow anything. You didn't finish. You didn't do the action yet. You started chewing, but it's not considered achila. It's not considered eating until you actually swallow it. Chewing is a preparation for eating. It's the first step towards it. Yeah, but it's not the actual. It's not actually considered eating. Yeah. How do we see this? How do we know that this halacha is true? Because coming back to Pesach, there's a mitzvah of achilas matzah. You have to eat the matzah. You have to eat a kazayis or a kibetzah, a certain amount of matzah. Yeah, that's the mitzvah of eating the matzah. And you have a certain amount of time to eat the matzah in. Yeah, you have to eat it either 2 minutes, within 2 minutes you have to eat your kibetzah, within 4 minutes or within 9 minutes, different opinions. When does the timer start? It's very difficult to eat a lot of. I mean, to eat a lot of matzah, you've got to chew it up. How long? It takes a long time to chew the matzah. You put in a bit in your mouth. That's half a kibitzer, you know. Then you've got to put in another bit. That's going to take a long time. Yeah. When does the counter start? The timer starts only after you swallow your first bit. Therefore, they say on Pesach, what you should do is chew everything. Get everything ready in your mouth. Put in as much as you can. Yeah, okay. But this is our dignity on Pesach on the Seder night is the eating of the matzah. Yeah, although it doesn't necessarily look so dignified, stuffing our faces with matzah. But put in as much as you can. Chew it up. Get it ready to swallow. Then swallow. Yeah, chew it all up together and then swallow it. Don't do it like we usually do it, swallowing a bit here and a bit there as you're chewing along. Yeah. But chew everything together and then you're ready to swallow everything together. Then you'll be able to make the shear the amount of time. Okay, because we don't consider the achila to be anything other than the swallowing. Yeah, the chewing is not considered achila. It's not considered the eating.
Make easier, it's possible to drop...
To dip it in water?
Water.
Yeah. It would be, but we do not do that. We do not do that. For the elderly and for the infirm, we allow them to do it. This is a halacha in Shulchan Aruch called matzah shruya, which means matzah which is soaked. Yeah, matzah shruya is easier to eat. Yeah. Yeah. So for the elderly and the infirm,
don't have teeth.
Yeah. For the elderly and the infirm, we allow them. We allow them to do, to eat their matzah shruya, but for other fit, healthy people like ourselves, we do it the other way. Okay. So this is a very important halacha to know. A very, very important halacha to know. A halacha which is commonly not followed, or commonly not known, or not followed. That you're not after you make the bracha, you're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to talk until you've actually swallowed that food that you put in your mouth. Okay. Great. That is the first part of this halacha of Sif Gimel. We're now going to go on to the second part of this halacha, which is actually a completely different topic entirely, which is why we divided up into a different class. Okay. I think it's on the next page here for you. Yeah. Okay. This is on the second line down, Vitzarech. Okay. Vitzarech lashmia la'oznov. And you're required to make heard to your ears. This is a lechatchila across the board in all the areas of tefillah, all the areas of prayer, brachas included, that you have to be mashmia la'oznov. You have to make heard to your ears whatever's coming out of your mouth. Right? The source of this, you know, in halacha, in Shema, right, there's in Shema, you have to make it heard to your ears. Why? Because
the whole thing,
the whole of Shema, because it says Shema Yisrael, right here. Listen, okay, that's the source of this.
It's only one statement, Lord.
So that statement, but we extrapolate from there to all areas of tefillah, that all areas of prayer that one should make heard to the ears. Mashmia la'oznov, masha mitzi misvasov, whatever is coming out of your lips.
So every bracha you make verbalized.
Every bracha you make has to be verbalized for the in terms of verbalization. Yeah, everything has to be verbalized, because otherwise, if you're doing it in your heart, you're doing it in your head, you didn't say a bracha. Okay, in very specific certain situations, you might be able to fulfill in some way your requirement to make a bracha or pray if you did it, if you were maharher believer, you thought about it, you thought about the bracha. Okay, but in very, very specific situations, and even in such cases, we're going to say that when the extenuating circumstance is removed, you still have to go back and say the bracha out loud as well, in those cases. Okay, but it might count for something. It's very interesting halacha. Maybe we can do it another time. But absolutely, lechatchila, every word of tefillah that you're saying, it definitely has to come out of your mouth. You have to be what's called mechateich b'sfasayim, I think it is. You have to cut the words with your lips. Yeah, you have to cut the words. Yeah, I think so. I think that's the wording that's used. You have to cut the words with your lips. You actually have to verbalize it with your lips. Okay? Now then you can verbalize it with your lips and say, right. You did it with your lips, that's fine. Okay. However, you weren't mashmiel oznov. You didn't hear. You didn't make it heard to your ears. Okay. Okay. In such a situation, we're going to say that what you have to do, lechatchila, is you have to make it heard to your ears. However, as the Shulchan Aruch continues, ve'im loy hishmiel oznov, yatsa. However, if you did not make it heard to your ears, then you're still yatsa. Yeah, you still fulfill your mitzvah. You're still yaitzik.
But not as good.
Okay, so this is only a halacha lechatchila. But lechatchila, this is important to know, that you should make known to make heard to your ears whatever is coming out of your mouth. I had this is true also Shemoneh Esrei. Yeah, and Shemoneh Esrei, you also have to make heard. Although at the same time, we don't shout Shemoneh Esrei. Yeah, it's a silent prayer. Okay, so you should do it quietly. If the room is quiet, you should do it in a way that your ears are able to hear whatever you're saying.
It means not by eyes, but the lips.
You have to hear. That's one halacha. One halacha is you have to use your lips. Yeah, it's not good enough. If you're just reading through... Yeah, you can read all of Shemoneh Esrei like that. You can read all the brachas like that, only by eyes. That's not good. That's not good. You can also go like this. You see people doubling this?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Why not?
Because they're saying... you've seen people doubling like that, yeah?
But this is only you here, but he... Maybe
I mean the words that he's saying is that's not good. You didn't say the words. You didn't Yeah, you have to say the actual words. Yeah, you have to say the actual words. You can't mumble. You have to be mechatech b'svasayim. You have to be medaktik. You have to be very specific with how the words are coming out. The words have to come out and sound right. Otherwise, you didn't say the words at all. You didn't daven.
No, but look here. Different people has different errors. Some people are deaf.
Deaf, yeah.
Fine. That's one halacha. One halacha is you have to actually say the words clearly with your lips. Okay. The next halacha is lechatchila. You have to hear whatever you're saying, what your lips are saying. You have to be able to hear it as well. So some people are deaf. That's a good question. There's another question, which is, what if you're in a very loud place? How loud do you have to say it? You have to like shout so you can hear it?
Well, only you have to hear it.
Or is it good enough just to do it quietly so that if you were in a quiet place, you would be able to hear?
Probably just works. If you cannot leave noise, you can...
So I believe that the halacha is you still have to make it hurt your ears. The halacha is you have to make it hurt your ears. Your ears have to hear it. Yeah, it goes in. That way it goes in. If you can't hear it, we can't concentrate. So if you're in a loud place, you've got to daven louder. I had there was a guy in my shir in yeshiva when I was in Israel, in the Mir yeshiva. And we davened after shir, we davened in the shir room. We davened mincha straight away before lunch, and it was a loud room. And there was it was lunchtime for a lot of the school kids, the local school kids. There was a lot of noise outside, a lot of noise around, and so it was hard to be mashmi ala aznav. It was hard to hear what you're saying. He had an amazing technique, which I've used in the past as well. He put his hand like this. Yeah, try. Whisper into your hand like this. Try it. Yeah, just whisper very quietly. No, not all the way there. Like there, like this. And then take the hand away. Yeah, it amplifies the sound. So he did this. This is how this was his position. His Shemayna Esrei position was like this.
To wear space almost.
So
no, this is distract attention from the text.
Unless you get used to it. He was obviously very used to it. He did it every day. That's how he davened. He was used
okay,
to it.
Okay, somewhat
didn't distract him.
This is a little tangential, but Pesach, I was davening someplace, and the chazan is repeating the Shemona Esrei, or whatever prayer it was, and using his song, and they're singing along, and I couldn't even hear what he's doing. But, I mean, they're not with words, but just enough to drown him out, so I couldn't hear him.
It's a problem. It is a problem. The Shliach Tzibor has to daven is supposed to daven loudly. So, I mean that's what he's there for. If you can't hear any word the Shliach Tzibor davening, then it's a problem. Now Lamaisa, we don't use the Shliach Tzibor for our tefillah, yeah, because everyone prays for themselves. But still, the fact that he's there, you know, we have to listen to him. So okay. it is a problem.
But
it is
required a problem. To listen hasn't written.
Sorry,
it's required to listen what?
Yeah, but it's a mitzvah it's a mitzvah on the tzibur. It's a mitzvah. It's a chayvas tzibur. It's a requirement of the tzibur of the community. Therefore, if the community is not able to hear him, you know, that's
it's a problem. But we have to say tzibur is what is different. I read it or I hear him.
Right, so back in the old days, In the old days, the people didn't know. People didn't know how to daven. They didn't have siddurim. They only had one siddur, and the shliach tzibur had it. That's the reason why we have chasaras hashatz. We have the repetition before the people who would not be davening, and the shliach tzibur would be mitzihim. The shliach tzibur would have the community in mind. Nowadays, we're all bekiyim. We're all experts. We know how to daven for ourselves, and therefore
and
we don't.
Siddurim.
Therefore, we don't require, and we have our own siddurim, so we don't require the shliach tzibur for our brachas, for our shmoneh esrei. However, it's become what's called a chovas tzibur, an obligation, a minag, a custom of the community, on the community, to have the shliach tzibur do it. Nevertheless, they have the repetition. This is a halacha. Therefore, seeing as there's a requirement of the community, of the congregation have to be able to hear it. If the congregation are not hearing, then it's a problem. Yeah, it is. It is a problem, and the shliach tzibur should know this, and they should daven. They should daven loud.
They don't.
Because
I do.
But
I won't say anymore.
But when repetition, this is required to hear, but not to follow the text anymore. Second time.
You should follow along the text as well. Lechat chila.
This
the best way to do is,
to
I mean, if you, unless you're able to follow along with the shliach tzibur without following along the text, it would be a similar mitzvah to when you're davening for yourself.
Yeah, but for
right, you should follow along the text unless you know the words.
Well, this way it concentrates your attention.
It helps you concentrate. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's still the same mitzvah to concentrate between on the shliach tzibur davening as on your own. Not the same, a bit different, but there is still a mitzvah to concentrate on the shliach tzibur as well. Okay, weiter.
Okay, next.
Now here's the words that this is what I didn't mention. This is what I was saying, but I didn't realize the Shulchan Aruch himself says this. Ubilvad sheyotzi misfasav, as long as you are letting the words are coming out of your mouth. Yeah, as we said, you need to make, you're required to make it heard to your ears. But if you didn't, then you're still yotzi. You're still okay. As long as the words come out of your mouth. If the words don't come out of your mouth, then you are not yotzi. Okay. Next halacha. Ready for the next halacha? V'ne'emarim b'chol lashon. And they are said, or can be said, in any language. Yeah, these brachas and tefillah, prayer in general, can be said in any language. As and where do they learn this from? Shema! Hear. How do you hear? What language do you hear in, Mr. Steinberg?
Yeah, I heard in English.
What language do you hear in, Akadi?
Shema? No.
What language do you hear?
Russian.
Russian. Rusia. Yeah? Shema, and Chazal say, Bechol loshoin she'ata shemeo. In any language that you hear. Any language that you understand. Okay, this is the source of the halacha, that prayer, all areas of tefillah, can be said in any language, as long as you understand them. Okay, you can't daven in Norwegian, yeah, if you don't understand Norwegian.
If you can say it, but you don't understand what you're talking about.
Right.
But the reason why is people pray for native language only because to understand.
Right. The only reason you're using a native language is because you understand it. If you don't understand it, then it's not good.
So can you make up your own language? There's a Russian novel where there was this woman named Elochka who made up her own language.
If it's a language and if it means something to you, then possibly. Possibly.
Akadi, 30 words or 50 words?
That one made difficult.
If you had someone who was practicing at a language, yeah, and they thought they're like quite good at a language, and they decide, you know what, I'm gonna daven in that language. That's not good. You don't understand it. You don't understand it properly. You shouldn't. You're not allowed to do it. Yeah, it's only if it's a mother tongue or a language you're fluent at. Okay. The exception to this rule is Lashon HaKodesh, Hebrew. If you're davening in Hebrew, even if you don't understand it, that you can still daven in that. Okay. It doesn't say here. I'm just telling you what the halacha is.
But you said blessing in any language it's cover everything, or there is some exception? Was one of the key phrase, Shema Yisrael, I don't know. Can it be said in Russian also?
Any area of tefillah can be said chol loshin in any language. As long as you understand it. The exception being Hebrew. Even if you don't understand Hebrew, you can still daven in Hebrew.
But actually, with four letters of Hashem is not equivalent.
So the way to do that is that when you're davening in English, you would say, "Blessed are you, Adoy," and say the name of God in Hebrew. Okay, so the names of God you would have to learn in Hebrew.
Aha.
Okay.
Yeah, so you would say blessed are you Adoy Noi, Eloi and Heinu, King of the World, who, whatever.
Now would that apply to other prayers too?
Yes, it would.
Even using Russian, to replace.
You should try to replace names of God with the Hebrew names of God. Yeah.
Hmm. Uh-huh. Just never heard about that.
Okay, the next halacha. V'lo yivarech orim ad sheyechase ervasei. And you should not make a bracha when you are naked until you cover your nakedness. Okay, this nakedness that we're talking about is literally the genitalia.
This is more... Private parts.
That's the genitalia.
That's more proper words.
But if you're in your pajamas, that would be...
If you're wearing a underwear, underpants.
That would be sufficient.
Yeah, that would be enough. For lo yivarech arim, you're not allowed to bless naked. Naked literally means your nakedness. Literally, for a man, his genitalia, and for a woman, her genitalia. That area.
If you were in a... you're a patient in a hospital, and they covered you up.
That's good enough.
That would be good enough.
Well, we'll see in a moment. We'll see a bit.
It means if you're
swimming trunks, fine. We'll get to more. Okay, this is the Ikar HaDin. This is the bottom line halacha. Okay. You have to cover your nakedness. What are we talking about? A man. We're talking about a man over here. A man has to cover up his genitalia. There's no way of him hiding it. Unless he covers it with a garment. But a woman, she can just sit down. Because when she's sitting down, her genitalia are covered. Because that is the way that she's able to cover her genitalia by just sitting down. Okay, a man has the physiology of a man is that his genitalia are external, and so if you sit down, they're still going to be revealed, and therefore for a man you have to actually put a garment on to cover. But a woman is able to just sit down, and that covers her genitalia, and she's okay with that. She can make a bracha.
Very strange. Why is this not to have dressed? What is reason?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We'll see a bit more. We'll see a bit more.
To pray naked.
What is the reason to pray naked? I can think of a great example.
What?
Woman's at the mikveh. When you go to the mikveh, there's a bracha to make. Asher kedushanu mitzvaysav v'tzivanu al hatavila.
No, but this is kind of exclusion. Yes, mikveh probably is only example.
There's probably others.
Okay, whatever. I don't know. You're at the beach. You've lost your underwear. They floated away in the sea.
Your Speedo. A fish grabbed your Speedo.
Now you're very thirsty. Whatever the situation may be. The halacha is, whatever case it may be, that you find yourself without any clothes on, if you're a woman, sit down, make a bracha. If you're a man, you've got to find something. You can't make a bracha.
What was the word? Was Arum?
Arum, yeah.
So it doesn't also refer to the backside?
Does it refer to the backside? So the backside is also considered as an erva. Yeah.
It's not.
So, it would refer to the backside as well.
What about the top side for a woman?
Breasts are not considered erva.
Okay.
I mean, they're not considered erva for this. Yeah. Okay. It's for a man, they're considered erva, meaning that a man is not allowed to recite Kriya Shema or any brachas when he's facing erva, nakedness. This is not the same nakedness. Okay. For a man, anything which should be covered with general dress of a woman, meaning beyond the elbows, up to the neck and down to the knees, if any of that is revealed more than a tefach, more than this amount of it, then that's considered erva, that's considered nakedness, and the man is not allowed to say any brachas facing that.
It means if near a woman with a naked woman.
You're not allowed to say brachas.
It means a woman is sitting naked, saying prayer.
She can say brachas, she's fine, but a man is not allowed to.
You cannot stay with her to talk the same.
Right.
Doesn't make a difference if his wife or not.
Doesn't make a difference.
You can go away.
Yeah, doesn't make a difference. She may be your wife, but still, you're not allowed to say brachas next to or facing a woman who has any
one woman in the
any
beach
nakedness exposed.
Can make prayer, and the whole beach should be go away to say bracha.
Or turn around. You have to turn around. As we said, the pasuk, the verse in the Torah says, "Lo yira b'cha be'erev hasdavar." You should not be found amongst you, or should not be seen amongst you, any nakedness. Your machne, your camp has to be kaddish, has to be holy. So we learn from here, any time where you are engaging in holiness, you shouldn't have any nakedness seen. I mean, you shouldn't be able to see nakedness if you're involved in holiness.
It's if you stay here, but you're
your body has to be turned around. It's not. It's not good. It's not enough just to turn your face around.
No, your actual body has to be turned around. At least if somebody is naked.
Yeah.
Behind you is still fine.
Yeah, so if you go to the beach, or if you're going to a shopping center, yeah, you're out in the street, there's nakedness everywhere, yeah, in the summertime.
No, not nakedness, but at least...
Nakedness. As I said, anything considered in the Torah, the Torah's consideration of what is nakedness is not the genitalia. This is the nakedness for yourself.
Ah.
Okay? Nakedness for a man reciting Kriya Shema is... above the elbows, below the collarbone, and above the knees. Yeah, the entire torso
is for
tefillah, for all areas of tefillah, brachas, everything. So if you're going out on the street and you're just sitting on the tee, yeah, and you want to have some chewing gum, yeah, and you're sitting opposite this, you can't make a bracha openly. Just make the bracha like that. You have to do some sort of contortionism, twist around, say the bracha, and do it like that. Okay, it's something to be conscious of.
Some people, some women start believe you don't respect her.
Chachma, you have to do it in a wise way.
The beach is not a problem in Israel. In other places too, they have beaches where they have separate men's beaches. Hours and women's hours.
Yeah,
men's days
schedule.
Days.
South
Boston. Yeah,
and the
schedule
South
is
Boston too.
Erev Shabbos, you can always work back. Erev Shabbos in the afternoon, Friday afternoon is men's hours, which means that Friday morning is women's hours.
It means there is no allowed
which means
to go
that,
to the beach,
that Thursday afternoon is women's hours, which means that Thursday morning is men's hours. which means that Wednesday afternoon is, yeah, and they have a rotation.
There is official schedule, or this is kind
of official schedule.
It means somebody watch. Schedule.
There is what's called a chof hanifrad, separate beach. And it's fenced off. There's an area that's fenced off, and the fence goes out, you know, a few feet into the water.
A special beach, a separate beach.
There's an area which is fenced off.
But it's the same beach for different
people. A number of beaches, not just one, a number of them.
They have them in most beach towns have a separate beach.
And there are people who will not let you go onto the beach. They'll stop you.
No, but there is a beach.
Yeah, cool.
In America, you know, there is a beach for everybody. Anybody can be naked. And what is called?
Right.
It is not the same.
No. Okay. Okay. 1 second.
What does it mean? Private parts are in view of his heart.
Okay, that we didn't do yet.
Not yet. Sure. It's kind of imagination.
Now, I'm trying to see. I am Dalit Sif Dalit.
I wasn't a lot. This is resort. Yeah. I don't remember there is any...
Tel Aviv, Haifa, many places.
But Eilat probably kind of international place. There is not any private...
No, there's private everywhere.
I didn't remember. I stroll along the shore.
Someday I'll take you to the beach.
Where?
In Israel.
Okay. It's still in your plan?
Now, I was trying to look for it, but the halacha is... besides from this, a man has to have his head covered when he's saying brachas. Okay, this is another halacha. This is not to do with nakedness, but your head has to be covered when you're saying a bracha as well. Okay, so just putting on underwear is not going to be enough to you have to have your head covered as well. There is
what does it mean cover?
It has to be covered with something. Your hand is not enough. Just covering with your hand is not enough. Because your skin cannot cover your own skin. Your body cannot cover your own body. Someone else's hand does work.
But this is
really?
Yes.
Nope.
If you didn't have a yarmulke, I could put my hand on you and you on your head and you'd be okay with that.
Or vice versa.
Yep. Oh. I've done that in the past at the beach.
Really?
You need a quick cup of water, you don't have a thing. Get your friend, his hand there. Make
never,
a bracha, have a seven.
Never heard that one.
Be careful, he's British, and he might have made you a knight when he just did that.
Yeah. Another way is to use your sleeve. Uh-huh. Yeah, your sleeve is okay. Sleeve is not your skin. It's just your own flesh isn't going to cover your own flesh.
I focus.
But your... As the Mishnah Berurah says, Moshech beis yodi, grab, pull down your sleeve and put it over your head.
How about tzitzis?
Tzitzis is good. Tzitzis is covered, yeah. That's a kisui. It's a covering. Just has to be covered. Now, there's another halacha, which is actually, I don't remember exactly where it is, but lechat chila, you should be entirely clothed when you're saying brachas. Okay, this is not saying that this is absolutely fine. Go ahead, hey, why bother getting dressed at all in the morning? Just put on your underpants and you're good to go. No, lechat chila, you should be entirely dressed. Specifically and especially, I don't remember exactly where this comes up, but your masnav, your shoulders should be covered. You should have your shoulders covered when you're making brachas, and then when you're davening, well, like Shmoneh Esrei, there's even stricter requirements because you're standing, Omeid lifnei Hamelach, you're standing in front of the king. Yeah, so standing in front of the king, you should do that in a respectable way.
But this is where you read. This is what.
Okay. This is the bottom line halacha, though. The bottom line halacha, though, is
you
could be naked as long as your nakedness, as long as your genitalia are covered up, then you can make brachas.
But when why is not here? In what cases you should be dressed?
I don't know.
But is this another? You found some in another place?
It is in another
place. If you read this, I can come in Sivim Siyut in synagogue and pray.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Well, one second. This is brachas. This is Hilchas brachas. This is not Hilchas tefillah.
It's only for blessing?
This is for blessing. This is for blessings here.
It's not for prayer.
This is the bottom line halacha for brachas. Yeah, we'll see in prayer there's different requirements. Okay, now the next halacha which sort of goes almost hand in hand with this is v'afiluim einoy arim, even if you're not naked. That means even if you're covered up. Let's say you're covered up. Im liboy roya es ha'erva. If your heart can see your nakedness, or your head is uncovered, then you can't make a bracha. Okay, so head uncovered, that we already said. Liboy Raya Sa'erva. What does Liboy Raya Sa'erva mean? Liboy Raya Sa'erva means that your heart should not be able to see, directly be in contact, visible to your nakedness. There has to be a separation between your heart and your nakedness. Okay, when you're making brachas, you shouldn't be your heart, where the bracha is coming from, shouldn't be able to be in direct contact with your nakedness. This is therefore the practical application of this means. What does it mean that you're entirely clothed? What would it be? What case would it be? That you're entirely clothed, but your heart is able to see your nakedness. What would that be? So the case would be, if you're wearing a dressing gown, you're fully clothed. Mm-hmm. But underneath your dressing gown, yeah, all you're wearing is your dressing gown. Underneath your dressing gown, libay reis erva. Your heart can see your erva. What do? You tie the string around the dressing gown. That separates between the heart and the lave and the erva.
That's sufficient.
And that's a separation. Yeah. If you're wearing underwear underneath your thing, then also.
It means.
Well, if you're wearing a robe with a string, that would be sufficient.
That would be absolutely fine.
Without a string?
Without a string is not sufficient.
Okay.
There, your heart sees your erva.
It means it looks as place your eyes in your heart, and this is you cannot see something because heart.
Your heart can see. Your heart can see.
No, but what it means by why is heart? Why is it eyes? Because eyes, it's what people see, not heart.
Why is it that your eyes should not be able to see Arabic? Because it's not about the eyes. It's about the emotion of getting your yourself into.
But hurt is emotional part. It's not view. Yeah. But this is what view. What emotional view?
You're right. I don't know. I don't know exactly why that language.
I suggest if you place your eyes in your heart, you can see something more than your eyes in your head. It's the same. What you, if I
if
hear,
you put your eyes in your heart.
Yeah, I can see something more, and if you tie your sail, its eyes cannot see.
Oh, you mean practically, if you look at your heart.
No, but maybe from here you don't see, but if your eyes here, it's still, it sees something.
No, that's not what it means. It means literally your heart sees your error.
But what heart? Heart can see.
Okay, so it's not, it's figuratively. Yeah, figuratively speaking, your heart should not be able, should not be in direct view of your erva.
But if you tie it, it means hurt. If it's emotional, I still can see. My emotion will be still able to see everything, even you tie it. If this is emotional
it's figuratively speaking, your heart, which is the place of the emotions where you're getting into davening and you're davening to Hashem, figuratively speaking, that should not be in plain, direct view of your body. Yeah, of your base physical side of you, of your body, of your nakedness.
It means emotionally you should be sure you're closed. If you feel it's not so, if you're tight, it's more emotionally you feel you are not naked. Because if
but
this is what
I don't know. The truth is we're beyond the scope of this discussion, because this discussion is halacha. Halacha is your heart should not be in plain view of your.
No, but I agree. This is more important. One practical thing you explain. To tie it.
You have to tie it.
This is what it's not emotional. This is practically.
Practical, halachically speaking, you have to tie. No, that's it. This is why, by the way, Hasidim go beyond that. Hasidim get a gartel. Yeah, they've got their belt, they've got their underwear, they've got their trousers. Everything's covered up. But even on top of that, more than that, they're gonna go ahead and tie a gartel. Yeah, it's more of a separation. We're separating between the top of your body, which is the higher part of you, and the lower part of you.
Okay.
So that would be, that's really the only practical case where it's going to be relevant for us, would be if you're in a bathrobe and you don't have underwear. Yeah, there you have to tie the string before you. There's a case where it comes up for women. Yeah, this halacha. A case that comes up for women is when they go to the mikveh. Again, they're making the bracha. They're under the water when they're making the bracha. They're libay reyes erva. Yeah, their heart can see the erva. Yeah, so if this is a halacha which is brought down, if they are in the mikveh in the river, where it's, or in a lake or something where the water is dirty, kick up a bit of the silt, from the bottom of the river. Make sure their heart is above the water level. Yeah, then their erva is below the water level, and seeing as the water is grimy, the heart can't see the erva.
Okay? But this is not only for women.
Or a man, if it would be Dibra Torah v'loshan hayva. The Torah spoke in a common situation. So a common situation would be a woman going to the mikvah and doing this.
It means. You can above the.
But men, men aren't making bracha underwater. When are men making brachas by the water? Men don't make bracha.
No, but why if men take a mikvah? What should men also take?
They also take mikvah, but when are they making brachas? They don't make brachas under the mikvah.
No, bracha required for men.
There's no requirement for a man to go to the mikvah. No Torah requirement. Not b'zman hazeh. Not in this time. We don't have truma. We don't have tumah and tahara.
I remember before the wedding, man.
Yeah. And on Erev Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a halacha that a man should go to the mikveh. But this is not because this is not
the same.
This is a kedusha. It's holiness. It's not tumah and tahara, purity and impurity. Like a woman, she has a mitzvah from the Torah, a Torah mitzvah that she has to go to the mikveh to pure. So that, so if she's under the, if she's underwater, if the water is dirty, she can kick it up. If her heart is above the water level, then she, then she's okay. If the water is clean, yeah, all the, or it's very deep and she's unable to, you know, to get actually. One second. I'm thinking that maybe kicking up the dirt works even if she's all underwater. I don't remember. Okay, I'll just tell you one other eitzah, one other
piece of advice,
one other solution that they suggest for women going to the mikveh is, and this is what's commonly done by women in the mikveh, yeah, especially when we've got clean mikvahs over here, the woman goes like this.
But the women say prayer
in the mikveh.
In mikveh.
They make the prayer when they're in the mikveh. I think Sephardim make the prayer before they go in the mikveh. Sephardi women make the bracha before they go in the mikveh, and then they say the bracha, then they get undressed and go into the mikveh. But Ashkenazi women say the prayer after they make the bracha.
After they do the tevila,
and therefore they're already in the water when they're making the bracha.
But the same bracha? One say before, after say, yeah, another saying after. Usually, brocha, normal way to say brocha before action.
Yes, yes. This is a halacha which is brought down in. We'll end with this. This is a halacha that is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. The halacha is that the bracha, any bracha that we make, has to be over la'asiyasim, has to be before you do the action. Yeah, the blessings on eating. Yeah, you say the bracha before, then you eat. That's the bracha. Blessings on mitzvahs, specifically birkas and mitzvahs, you have to make the bracha and then you do the mitzvah. Asher kedushanu mitzvah yisav v'tzivanu lahaniach tefillin. Yeah, then you tie it on. Yeah, asher kedushanu mitzvah yisav v'tzivanu al achilas matzah. Then you eat it. Al nitzilas aluf. Then you shake it. Yeah, it has to be over la'asiyasin. It has to be before you do the mitzvah.
No, but there is bracha.
However, there is one exception, which is the mitzvah of tevilas hager. A ger, yeah, a convert who is going to the mikveh to complete the conversion process. Yeah, he has to go to the mikveh. Before he goes to the mikveh, he's a goy. Yeah? He's not Jewish.
Even
with Bris Mila. Yeah, he did the Bris Mila. He's still a goy. Until he completes the conversion process. The completion of the conversion process is Tevila. Is that Tevila? He's reborn. Renewal. He's reborn. Tinoik Shanoila Dummy. He's like a baby. A reborn baby. Yeah, he's now a new person. He got a new neshama. He goes out, goes into the water as a goy, and he comes out of the water as a yid, as a Jew. Okay, before he goes to the mikveh, in the wording of the Gemara, gavra lo ichazi. He is a person who is not fitting. He's not appropriate. He's not. He can't make a bracha. He's a goy. He can't make a bracha.
He's not Jewish.
So if he makes the bracha, the bracha didn't count. It's nice. It's a nice thing when non-Jews do it. But it's not going to fulfill his mitzvah of the bracha of the mitzvah. Okay. So this is an exception to the rule where we're going to say that in the case of tevilas hager, the immersion of a convert, that is an exception to the rule that we're not going to make the bracha over lasiyasan before doing the mitzvah. The bracha there is going to be after doing the mitzvah. Okay, because at the time before the bracha, again, he's not fitting to make a bracha. He's not yet a Jew. Okay, therefore, in that case, we're going to say first he dunks and then he says the bracha.
No, but there is another case when we say bracha after. After Besserung, for example.
That's not a Birkas HaMitzvah. That's not a blessing on a mitzvah. That's a blessing of thanks. After you've done the deed, you recognize it. Oh, thank you very much, Hashem. For everything working. But the blessings on mitzvahs, kol mitzvah, any mitzvah that you're about to do, you have to make a bracha over las yasan. This is an exception because you can't make the bracha over las yasan, therefore you're going to make the bracha afterwards. Okay? Now, another partial exception to this rule is netilas yadayim. Yeah, when you wash your hands for bread, or you wash your hands in the morning, so what do? To make the bracha before we wash?
After.
Make the bracha after. Yeah, why do we do that?
As you're drying your hands.
One second, we'll come on to that. Why do we do that? Why do we make the bracha after you wash? You should make the bracha before. All the mitzvahs, you have to make the bracha, ayiv las yasan, you have to make it before. So again, this is another exception where we're going to say that seeing as you're washing your hands, why are you washing your hands? They're dirty, there's tumah, or there's something. You can't make a bracha now. The fact that you wash your hands shows me your hands are dirty. Yeah, or your hands are tumah, or your hands are, there's something wrong. Yeah, you can't do that. You can't make a bracha now. Yeah, your hands have to be clean when you make a bracha. Okay, therefore, in this case, we're going to say also, first, right, because it's not appropriate for you to make a bracha before you do the mitzvah, first do the mitzvah, and then wash your hands. However, over here, we have an eitzah. We have an eitzah. Yeah, we have a solution for you, which is that the part of the mitzvah of netilas yadayim, for washing for bread, is that you wash your hands, and then you dry your hands. Why? Because you can't eat bread with wet hands, because it's going to make the bread spoil. So part of the mitzvah of the washing of the hands is drying the hands at the end. Okay? So over here we've got an eitzah. What we do is, you wash your hands, then you say the bracha, then you dry your hands. Okay? Meaning that at least you're over las yosan in part. At least it's before the completion of the mitzvah. You haven't yet completed the mitzvah. If you wash your hands and then dry your hands and then say a bracha, now you've completed the mitzvah. Yeah. Here there's something we can do. We've got a partial solution. Partial solution is wash your hands, then make the bracha, then you can dry your hands, and then it's at least considered that you made the bracha before the completion of the mitzvah. Okay. So in part, you've got a partial solution over there. Yeah. What this requires though is that you've got to wash your hands, say the bracha before drying them. Okay, if you're drying your hands while you're, you know, saying the bracha while you're drying your hands, in a rush, then you didn't get that. This only helps if you shake the shana mitzvah of tivonu al netilas yadayim, then dry your hands. Okay, it doesn't help if you're drying your hands at the same time.
But dry the hand is not mitzvah.
It is. It's a partial mitzvah.
It's a partial mitzvah of the mitzvah of netilas yadayim. You have to dry your hands as well.
Yeah, it's a partial mitzvah. It's not the mitzvah. The main mitzvah is washing hands. But there's a halacha of niguv yadayim, which means drying of the hands. It's in Shulchan Aruch. Speaking about niguv yadayim.
If you wash my hand and don't dry...
And don't air dry them.
It's not completed?
It wasn't the best way of doing the mitzvah. Yeah, this is why people are. I'm makbid that I dry on. I don't let my hands air dry. You should dry them. Yeah, you should actually dry them with something. Yeah, there's a discussion about hand dryers. Yeah, hand dryers. Is that considered you did an action?
The blowers.
Yeah. Did you do an action of drying your hands, or you just put here and then the air dried them?
Even paper.
So what I try to do lechatchila is I try to find paper. I try to actually dry my hands with paper or with a towel.
Just an action. Press the button, or you activate the sensor.
Okay, but you know, it's being dried by passively by air.
It's not that's passively.
You
put your hands in motion.
I hear. If you just leave them like that, they'd also dry. Yeah. Anyway, that's going to be another exception because gavra lo chazi, because you're not fit for making a bracha. Now the question is, how about tevila for a nida, for a woman. So there, she is Chazi. She's Jewish. Yeah, she can make a bracha before. Yeah, before doing the tevila. Okay. So over here, we have a machlokes. There's a machlokes Rishonim. Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. I believe it's Rashi and Tosfos. I don't remember which one says which. Okay. But either Rashi or Tosfos, is the opinion that seeing as over here we have an exception, you know, Tevilas Ger, a convert, he can't say the bracha. This woman, this Nida, she can make the bracha. Therefore, she will. She says the bracha, and then she can go and dunk. She can go and immerse. She goes to and tovels. Because it's not the same as we don't, there's no Gavrilo Chazi. She is fit for saying a bracha. Okay? Before she went to the mikveh. Tumah and Tara is not, she's perfectly clean. Yeah? She specifically has to clean herself and get herself all ready before she goes to the mikveh. So she's clean, she's ready to make the bracha. She makes the bracha and then goes down. Okay? The other Rishon has the opinion that loy plug, that we didn't distinguish. Yeah? There is a concept that tevila, immersion, ritual immersion, requires a bracha. But in the case of tevila sager, you can't do it because gavra lo chazi. We didn't distinguish between different types of tevila. We just gave a blanket rule. The blanket rule is that you that because there's this case of tevila sager where you can't make the bracha before loy plug rabbonon. The rabbis didn't want to distinguish. They wanted to make sure we get it right when it comes to tevila sager. Therefore, they said that even by a nida, even by a woman ritual immersion, she has to say the bracha after she does the tevila. Okay? Again, one opinion that over here is different. We can, you know, there, tevila Zagari couldn't make the bracha because he wasn't Jewish. Here, this woman is Jewish, so she can make the bracha. So she'll make it before. The other one says, no, we're not going to distinguish. It's going to get complicated. It's going to get confusing. We'll just keep it. All tevila is going to be the same. Tevila will always be the tevila, the immersion, and then the bracha. Just like a tevila Zagari. Okay, the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the first opinion. Yeah, and again, I don't remember. I wish I remembered whether it was Rashi or Tosfos, but like the first opinion that the a nida, a woman, does it the right way. Does it the right way around because she is chazi. She is fitting to make a bracha. Therefore, a woman goes to the mikveh. She makes the bracha and then she derobes and goes and dunks. Okay. The Ramah paskins like the other opinion. Okay, this is a machlokes Ashkenazim and Sephardim. The Ramah paskins like the other opinion, which says loy plug. There's no distinction. We never do it the right way round. We always have the tevila before the bracha. Okay. Therefore, an Ashkenazi is going to do the tevila. They're going to do the immersion and then say the bracha. However, in deference to the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, the Ashkenazim, an Eitzah, yeah, a solution, is an Ashkenazim will do another dunk afterwards. They'll do another immersion afterwards. Meaning that they'll have an immersion and then they'll say their bracha. That's the real immersion. Real immersion because the bracha should be after the immersion. Okay, they have the immersion, then they say their bracha. In deference to the fact that maybe I should say the bracha before my immersion, then they do another immersion afterwards. So it comes out that the Ashkenazi women are going to immerse twice for that. Okay? Is that clear?
Almost.
Almost. Okay? Then that's also going to have to be done al-tanai, as we were speaking about, the rabbi was speaking about last night, by the bracha, by Sefiras Omer, by accounting. Because if she did the mitzvah already, then what's it going to help doing it afterwards? So as she says, she has a tanai. If...
What's a tanai mean?
A tanai is a condition. Yeah, so she makes a condition that if I'm supposed to say the bracha after the tevila, then my first tevila is going to count. And then I said the tevila, and I said the bracha afterwards. However, if the bracha should be before the tevila, then this tevila is not a tevila. There, the first tevila is not a tevila, and the second tevila is my real tevila. Yeah, and this is what women what women should have in mind when they go to Vekva. Although
this is why we call
I can't imagine many of them do.
Well, we call it Tanayim.
Not exactly, but yeah, something like that. Okay, Shkayach.